Okay, we are learning Simen Kuf Yud Ches, and I guess some people are still davening and saying Hallel upstairs. So, they finished Musaf yet? So what I'll do is recap what we learned last week, and we'll move on to this week. As I said at the outset last week, the first two Sifim deal with the question of when do you need two chaisamais, when do you need one chaisam? It's not the question of what constitutes a chaisam, just the question of when do you need two chaisamais and when do you need one chaisam. Now, it's a bit complicated. The Gemara says chavis needs two simanim. Chavis is chatiches dag, yayin, basar, and tchelis. So those four things need two simanim. And that is no question. No one's makel on fish, wine, almost no one's makel on fish, wine, and meat, that it needs two simanim. The other things that are mentioned in the Shas, Champag, needs one simen. What's the guideline? What needs two simanim and what needs one simen? So we learned last week in the first Taz, a machlekes Rashi and the Rashba. Rashi said expensive things need two simanim. Wine, meat, and fish are expensive. And inexpensive things need one simen. That was Rashi's guideline. But they said that the halacha is like the Rashba. The Rashba shita was that anything that's a chashash issa deraisa needs two simanim, and anything that's only a chashash of a derabanan needs one simon. And the Rashba, as I mentioned at the outset last week, is a problem, because nowadays things that have oil or shortening are shilas of issa deraisa, and the chayra they should need two simanim. That was the sort of the question that applies to the first two sifim. Why? We're very makel with one simin on anything besides fish, meat, and wine. We're really, the Rashba is saying, anything that's an issur d'oraisa, and it's really the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, that anything that's an issur d'oraisa needs two simanim, and only an issur d'rabbanan doesn't. The Shulchan Aruch is on the second side, where he brings the champag, where he brings the four things that need one simen, the chol of murai is pas and gvina, b'chol shisurim is the very cipher. So this seems to be a bomb kasha on our minig to be makel with one simen on everything we buy in the store. We buy cookies have shortening in them, shalvin is a deraisa. So we buy cereals, some cereals have oils in them, that the shayva deraisa, and all these things were makel with one simen. The answer I mentioned, based on the first shach, was that there's a rule of kol deparish meruba parish. If you find something in the street with no simanim, you find something laying in the street, you pick it up, and it's, as I mentioned, even a frankfurter, but it's in a place where most meat in this area is kosher, kol deparish meruba parish, doesn't even need a simen, according to the Ramah that the shach brings. So the reason, one answer as to why we're makel on cookies and cereal and all of these types of things is because most of them are kosher. Could be in certain products, most of them have achsherim, but even the ones without achsherim are not certified treif. They're likely kosher, pretzels, and all these types of things are most likely, Reif says they're kosher anyway. So that's one possible answer on our minig to require two simanim only for these few items, the three items mentioned in the Gemara. I mentioned that pizza would seem to be something more of an issue. The pizza, there's no raiv. It could be that pizza, the kashav kashrus is only a drabanan, the cheeses in the pizza, bisman hazeh, probably only a shayla of gevina sakum, which is a drabanan. So one simen is enough. The pizza store send things to a house with a non-Jew with just the tape on it. It's only one simen. That seems to be the standard. It could be because it's only an issur shayla of a drabanan. And the meila would make a lot one simen. That was the first part of the shir I mentioned. But does treif, why it makes them treif? What's treif about them? They're made for milk. Cheese is made for milk. Now there are things added to them. So once upon a time, they made gzeirah and gvinas akum because of treif ingredients that are used to curdle the cheese. Why we make l'bizman hazeh? Maybe because there's so much synthetic rennet, which is really kosher, so still issa d'rabbanan gvinas akum. But the sederi aisa could be is not right, and maybe just trying to answer the minig oil. That was part one of the shiur last week. Part two, which is again more coolers. I mentioned to you there's a stira in shas that all the taisvus and all the rishayim ask. Taisvus is in avodah zarah daf lamed aleph. I think taisvus mentions it briefly in Elul Metzias that we know that these four things, chavis, chatichas dag, basa yayin, and tchelas, need two simanim. And the Gemara of mechatichla, tlasakarnasa, the Gemara we sent meat by cutting it a certain way, l'chair is only one simon. Okay, there's a similar stira in regard to yayin. Chavis, the Gemara says yayin needs two simanim. And there's a Gemara that says that wine needs only one simon, and it's brought in Tazhei. So as Steve is in Shas, when do you need one sim and when do you need two? So we're going to have a number of terutzim. Obviously, each terutz is a kula, telling us when one is enough. So last week, we learned the end of the Mechaber. The Mechaber said a bit of a complicated answer, and the Ramah said a not complicated answer. The Mechaber said that when is one sim enough? When either you give him a pekod, you make a simon, you give him to him to watch. He knows when you come back, you're going to check the simon. There's mirtis. He's afraid you're going to check the simon. Then one simon is enough, or if the recipient knows to look for the simon. A person receiving it knows to look for the simon. So then one simon is enough. So two simonim are enough when you're not sure anybody's going to check for it. So it's a chashziyuf, afraid the guy will be mezayif it, so you have to make it hard for him, which is two simanim. And she'en kein, when he's mirtis, he's afraid that the recipient will check for it, there one simon is good enough. So bizman hazeh, again, that would answer our products. If we assume, and it's assumed, that the packaging is a good simon, so then everyone knows that the recipient is going to check, he's going to look for the hechsher. And in that case, he's mirtis, he's afraid. So this is a second way of explaining why we're makel on the cookies and the potato chips and all the other products, because we rely that everyone knows there's a simon, the simon being the emblem of the hechsher, and we assume that that's a good enough simon, and that would be an answer. Now, if you look at the Ramah on the second side of your sheets, which is the end of Sif Aleph, Ramah brings a second teretz. He had three terutzim of the Rishayim brought. The Ramah says, "V'yeshayim d'loy bina beis chesamais rak b'Yisrael chashut avloy v'kechavim hakol shari ayidei chaysim echad." So we learned this, I believe, at the end of the last Sunday shiur, that the second teretz, a Yisrael chashud is more chashud than a guy. A guy is, as Jews have special rules, he doesn't play around with it. Yisrael chashud, we see that the Yisrael b'chashudim think they're smarter than everybody, and they tend to be less reliable. So therefore, by a guy, a person could be more makel, strangely enough, than by a yid. So that's the end of Sif Aleph. Ramah says, "Bidi Eved Yesh Lismach Alzeh." Ramah says to rely on the Shita Bidi Eved. Certainly, if you take the two together, if you take the Mechaber Shita, that the recipient knows to look for it, and the Ramah Shita, that it's by an Akum, so you have what to rely on having just one simon. That's really the bottom line. So everybody knows Chavis needs two simanim. The Rajma says all these simanim derises. We have a problem with it. So we spend the rest of Sif Aleph and Beis hunting for kulas. So we found the kula of Raiv, which was in the Shach, the kula of the recipient knows to look for the simin, which is the mechaber. The kula of akum is less chashud, which is the ramah. So put together, we basically have three kulas. The fact that the recipient is going to look at it, how does it prevent us? So the idea is that there's a mirtis. There's a fear. That's how the Yitzchak at least explains it. We're afraid that he won't do a good job. He won't do a good job of being mizayifit. We actually once had, all the years I'm involved in kashrus, where a very alert mashgiach was checking the boxes in the freezer, and he's been doing it for months. And he saw that the shtempel was not the same. It was different. It used to be, it was pre-printed on the boxes, and this time it was stamped, it was all crooked, and it looked different. And, you know, there was something to what was going on. I'm saying it was out in our tray, but it was coming from a different kosher plant, and it was a mezuyif dika hechsher. He was very alert to catch it. It was very unusual. What do you do with someone like that? You stop buying from him. One chance. What?
Even though it wasn't
trey. Once someone's mezayif, I don't think anybody, you know. Well, in business, what would you do? If someone gave you counterfeit bills and it didn't go through, that's what happened there. It was, at the time, it was a known thing in the kashrus field. It was a non-chsidish hechsher. I wanted to add a chsidish hechsher. So rather than paying, they shtempel. Somebody, one of the distributors, maybe shtempled it. I don't remember the details. I can, yep.
According to Rashi, it has some oil in it, but it's a minute amount of oil. Is that still considered expensive? If the product is cooked.
According to Rashi Shita, that the Rashi Shita was that the chavis is expensive, and that's why there's a bigger chashad. You have to remember, we're not being chayshed the plant. We're talking about the messenger who delivers it. So for him, it has to be worth his while to put his job at risk to switch it. Meat with the price difference in kosher and non-kosher is great. I don't think cereal and cookies, there's such a big price difference that he has an incentive to do it. And that's according to Rashi Shita. In that machlok is pashuk to Rashba, though that chavis depends on Issadai Reis. Okay, so this is basically where we're holding. Pischei Tshuva Gimel has another kula. Like I said, we start the chavis needs two simanim, and we go through Sev Aleph and Beis hunting for kulas. So Pischei Tshuva Gimel brings an interesting kula. I am Tshuva Shemesh Tzedaka, Yerodei Tezvav, Shenishal, B'mishasholach L'chaveirei Mi'ir Li'ir, Ayidei V'kechavim. Now this, listen to what he sent. Chelkas savari ivis meluim basar munachem b'teva echad b'mismayreis. Now this wasn't just a cut of meat; it was something that was prepared. Okay, so pischei tshuva gimel. It was something that was prepared. You imagine someone makes a blintz, or somebody makes something that the food is recognizable. It's not like you shechted bird, whether you shechted it or slaughtered it. It looks the same. Here, the chap of this is that it was a prepared food. It was in a box that was nailed, but there was no specific chaysim. Each one had a piece of paper on it that said on it, Pesach, I guess kosher Pesach. It's not worth being called a chaysim. Madina. Are the nails around the box good enough? According to Ramah, that one is enough. He was mitzar of a few reasons. So it was a bit cooler that he let the nailed box count. Kosav shehiritza devarim that he presented his kula lefnei arav Rabbi Yosef piamito v'hoisef huzal oitam. Listen to this. Lefi shekosav shulchanakam tzefeim shalchei deyve kechav yerech b'loy chaisim v'ichatucha. Gonna have later that if you can recognize the way it's cut, that could be a simin. Who adim b'nida didan shari ein derech avit kechavim lasis ke'ela. This is a type of food that's not made by Goyim. Vaday de lekuliyama b'diavad shari b'chaisim kaldu apalei chaisim. Now you hear what he's saying. He's saying is if the type of food that's being sent is a uniquely kosher type of food, if it's something that's made uniquely in the kosher industry, so then you could be mekel. What's an example of that? Kishka. I think about shmura matzah. Shmura matzah, that would be a very good example. Right? Sending shmura matzah, shvachas simanim on the traditional boxes of shmura matzah. It could be the ones they sell in the supermarkets are different. But what he's saying is, if there's nothing to be machlef it with, because it's only made kosher, the shmura matzah, who's going to make matzahs at that price for a non-kosher audience? Nobody's, there's no customers for it. So something that's nicker is also good. What about cholent? Is cholent, Bala Busta could tell a cholent from other people's cholent? Huh? I don't know. Kishka? Only Jews make kishka? I used to think challah is uniquely Jewish. It's not. It's not. There used to be on King's Highway an Italian bakery. It's not there anymore, on East 17th between King's Highway and P. I remember going for a walk with my kids and passing by, and they had challahs out on the... It looked like they must have had a baba inside making the challahs. It looked like what? Challahs, yeah, okay. So I don't know. Besides shmura matzah, you think of anything else that's made the what? Pecha. All right, the guy who don't have it, I don't know. Machine matzah. I don't know. I don't know if there are any. You need machines for it. I don't know if there are any. It could be. If it's flour and water, then it doesn't much of a hechsher except for Pesach, where it could be chametz. So I think. Nobody makes non kosher shmur matzah, right? You shouldn't need a simon called the parish beruba parish. What? Potato kugel. Goyim don't make potato kugel? No, I have no idea. I got to Google it. Google a potato kugel. Okay. At any rate, I'm just showing you the Ramah. The applications. What I thought of was the shmura matzah case that would fit very well. And basically, this is Sif Aleph. The heter of what? It's Sif Hei. We're going to get to it in Sif Hei. What? No, salmon is something else. The cutting here means when you're moving it on Nashi, you cut it a certain way. The salmon, they rely with no simanim because Rebelski said there's no other fish that looks like salmon. You know, like the Torah says, the only these creatures have one simon. Right, so we say we have an amuna, and we're not going to find any more creatures with only one simon. So Rebelski said there are no fish with this color besides salmon. So Davila, they haven't discovered other ones with this simon. I once looked into it. It's interesting. The color, the unique color of salmon, comes from its diet, not so much from its not because the flesh be'etzim, the flesh comes from its diet from what it eats. If you take salmon and you feed it a different diet than it has naturally in the ocean, it won't look like that. But anyway, the bottom line is that the color of the salmon is considered Belsky holds it considered a simon, and therefore you still buy it with a hechsher, but there's another thing that it has to be cooked kosher. Salmon is cold smoked. Now, I don't understand how cold smoke works. When I asked them, they said, you can come see it. There's a plant in Williamsburg with a hechsher where they make it. But it's cold smoked, and therefore it doesn't even have a din of bishul akum, because it's never hot. It's halachically, it's raw. Lax. I'm talking about lax. So anyway, so that's a simon. Raw salmon, yeah. Chatchila you should buy with a simon, with a hechsher, but okay. You know, the issue that Belsky was talking about is the fact that B'nai Torah don't rely on the OU for fish because they don't have Meshgiach Tamidi. So generally, Belsky himself and others, they don't rely on the OU for a hechsher on fish. But he said that on the lox, you can rely on them, on the salmon, because they have this unique color, so it's a simen mavik. You don't need a meshkiah to meet it. All right, so you have to know all the pratim, but I just mean to say, legabi the fish, you should buy with a hechsher, but you can rely even without a meshkiach tamidi. And that was the context. Let's go to Sif Beis. Kivan she hichsimai karoi shnei chesameis, b'dvarim she tzarech shnayim, if it's sealed properly with two seals, and things that need two, ve'echa b'dvarim shedai ve'echad, and one seal with things that have one, you don't even have to check it, as long as it was sent with two simanim. But if you checked and the simon is not there, aser. I feel aser shtei chesamais. Obviously, if the chesam was played around with, then it's aser even if you made two chesamais. So what does that mean? That means you get meat delivered to your house by a non-Jew or by a Friar Yid, and the store put on double chesamais, but when you get it, the chesamais are ripped, or there's something disturbed in the chesamais, they're not recognizable. So the Mechaber says, you're in trouble. It's aser, afilu aser shtei chesamais. That sounds absolutely logical, that it should be aser. However, Shach Yud Ches says, afilu aser beis chesamais wedin yaser, ulekamon simin kuf lamet zivches hisna raf tanoim b'zeh. Again, there are some exceptions to this. If you look at kuf lamet, which you don't have in your photostats, but in those of you who have a shulchan aruch, it's a simin kuf lamet zivches. There is talking about wine. It says the same thing. If you buy wine and the simin is disturbed, it's aser. The other Ramah says, understand this, dafka imroim shenister bekavona. It means that you could tell that the seal was deliberately disturbed by a human being. The Ramah is makel. If you get a delivery of meat, it has to have two chesamais. So if it looks like a person disturbed, it has a clean cut in on the tape, so that's problematic. But let's say the tape is all curling up and it's not sealing it anymore, and it's a rainy day, so you could say it came from the rain, it came from something else. So Rama says it could be mekel. You hear that? It could be mekel. Why? Because the main heter of a seal is that the guy is mirtis, he's afraid, and since he's afraid, so we have nothing to tell us he's not afraid. If he cut it, we know he's not afraid. But if it just got disturbed by itself, it's okay. And therefore, the Ramah says it's mutter. What's the problem with this? Nobody has a problem with it. Right? The guy delivered it, and the chasima was disturbed because of somebody who disturbed it, not the guy. So it's okay. What?
Now that it's open,
so the problem is, that's good, until it got disturbed. But after it got disturbed, the guy is now delivering it with no chasima. So it says here in the Pesachei Tshuva, it has to be that you could be taila that the guy was not aware of it. They left it on your doorstep, and then the rain disturbed it. Or somehow it's an inner chasima in the bag, and the guy didn't realize it's disturbed. But if it got disturbed on his way, so obviously... Well, if you need two, the shiloh would be one chasim is disturbed. If you only need one, then if you're left with a good chasim, obviously it's okay. It means whichever chasim is ma'ak, it was disturbed. If there's one left, but on yayin, dogim, and basa, we don't rely on one. But we're afraid it'll be mizayif one. So why does it help? If it was mizayif before he got it. So it means that you could be titled as Mizuyif later. The main point here is that, and the Shach holds this way clearly in Shach Tezvav, the way he explains it, is that we're relying more on the Mirtis than on the Bekiyas of the Chasima. Because we're relying more that the guy's afraid to play with it, more than we're relying that he can't fake it. People say today you could fake it. Yeah, but the emeritus generally there's a fear for a person to counterfeit things, to fake things. And Mimela, it's a Mimela, we rely on that the chasima is an authentic chasima. Now, that's basically what we rely on. So this is the Ramah. So again, this is the Mechaber and Sibbeis. Again, Mechaber is Machmir. He says if it's disturbed, it's no good. But it's interesting. The Mechaber, let's say somebody gets a delivery. He's got a business. He's got a restaurant. They got delivery of meat. And when he got the delivery of meat, his workers, does he have to tell his workers, don't open the package till I come in? Till I come in? I have to check the chesimis? So Mechaber is saying you don't. Mechaber is saying that if you sent it with two semanas, ain't sarach lasa rachas of l'raisa, you don't have to check on it. It's sent with two chesimis, you could assume he's mirtis, and you know, if they put it in a room with a bunch of gayim, if you lock gayim in a room with kosher ingredients, it's going to stay kosher, unless it's milk and meat. So the yid doesn't have to check for the chesimis. There's no halach he has to check for it. And that's good enough. If someone delivers food to the house and somebody is working in the house opens up the packages and puts it away, as long as the sender sent it with shtei chasimis, you assume that there were two chasimis when it arrived as well. That's good enough.
You don't have to verify that it was sent with two chasimis.
Well, if you call a kosher store and send it, and they always send it with shtei chasimis, I guess that's the assumption these days. So you need two chasimis. We've been talking about this the whole morning. The Rashba says things that are derived into shtei chasimis, right? And Rashi says things that are expensive. So we know for sure fish, meat. Oh, you're upstairs, I'm sorry. Fish, meat, and wine are need two chasimis. And the question is, are the derises? Are you fruit, you said? Fruit, I thought you said food. I apologize. Does fruit need two chasimis? Whole fruit doesn't need two chasimis. Cut up fruit is not it's a shayla of what it was cut up with. I don't think it certainly doesn't need two chasimis, right? If it's a deraisa, then it's not a shayla of a deraisa, likely. Most of it is a shayla of the rabbanon, so it's hard to require two chasimis on it. But I don't know. So you also have sort of the cholent heter. When a Mexican guy delivers a fruit platter, the fruit platters, the way they make them today, are made elegantly in stores. So the Pesachumas Heta was if you could tell that it's the original thing that was sent. I don't know how much you have to be chayshish that it was switched on a fruit platter. And the question is whether you have to look for the chaysim on that. That means you don't have to deliberately check for it. But if you did, and it's a scalpel, bad news.
Yeah. So yeah. Mashkiach doesn't have to check when they get delivery if that's
what I was saying. You don't have to check. If you get it, then you know it was sent by who you ordered from. They normally put two chesama. Is that that's what it
yeah,
says?
That's what normally.
Normally, well, they check anyway. They want to make sure they're paying. They got what they're paying for. So. How do you know? Because he's mirtis. Once the whole pshat here is that the person if it's sent with two simanim, we say the guy is mirtis. He's afraid to switch it, and we're not chayshish. He switched it, so we don't have to check for the simanim. If the point was I have to find the simon and check it's not mizuyev, is one thing. You don't tell the guy that the receiver is not going to check. Yeah, you put a simon. The idea is you check. If there's no mirtis, there's no mirtis. The whole heter is that he's assuming the recipient is checking.
So the thesis is, they told you we sent to Simon, and you don't have to look at the Simon when you receive it.
Right. Right. That's what happens. Okay, the Ramah. This is probably the biggest kula of all. Miu dafki mudavashie shlochuf locho shechlifai venehene bechalipin. We're only chayshish if the guy, by switching it, would benefit from switching it. Oy, hu yayin, v'yeshloch sh'asrei b'negiyah. Or wine, which he doesn't have to switch, which a guy can ask with negia. Avlim raya davish shalach. Oi ha hifkin v'utoyv kamay shalach. If what he got is the same price as what was sent, v'lein ena v'kachavim im echlifa, and the guy would gain nothing by switching it. Loi chayshinon avsha chaysa makokol v'nach chayshish. Now this Ramah is the biggest kula of all. It's again coming to answer, I think it's the Rashba Sheet, even though it says in parentheses, Beis Yasei Taisvis, it's known as the Rashba's kula, that, I guess brought in Taisvis too, that if he's loy nehena b'chalipin, when that chayshish, he switched it. Now, this is another answer for why we're makel on cookies and cereal and pretzels. There's no hanoa b'chalipa, there's no benefit for the guy to switch it, because kosher sandwich cookies and trefa sandwich cookies are the same price, and kosher pretzels, and they're all the same price. And therefore, there's no nehena b'chalipin. So that's another way to answer the stira in Shas. So this is, we have four major kulas. Again, the kula of the first shach, they're called the parish meruba parish, of raivis kosher. The kula of the first machaber, which is that if the guy knows you're going to check for the simanim, it's enough one. The kula of the first Ramah, that by a guy, as opposed to a Yehudi Chashud, by a guy it's enough one simon. And the kula of this Ramah, that if he's not Nehena B'chalipin, we're not Chayshish for that he was Machlif, although the Ramah's context is saying, in a case where it's Niskalkol HaChasima, the Ramah in context is not saying you can rely on it L'chatchila. He's saying that if the Chasima is ruined, you could be Mekel, because we're not Chayshish that he was Nehena B'chalipin. So today, fish, meat, and wine is still more expensive to be kosher than to be non-kosher. Wine is a great variety, great spread in prices. I don't know exactly how it works. I know one thing. If it's less expensive, I like it. Not because of the price. I just don't like the high alcohol stuff. But there presumably is a price difference. But the cookies, the pretzel, and the potato chips, there's no big difference. You have to know it originated in a kosher place. But then you can be make.
So you have to approve, you don't need anything.
What?
You wouldn't need anything for fruit, because you can only replace it with fruit, it's going to be the same price.
Fruit platter. Can only change it with another one, it's the same price. Pretty much the same price. Now, I do have to mention two chashashes that Chazal mentioned. One is later in the Shach Lamed Zayin. The Shach Lamed Zayin says if you leave a guy in the house and food is cooking, and that guy is going to eat from the food, so you have to be chayshish that the guy added something, because the guy, him or herself, is nehena b'chalipin. In other words, you put up a roast, and the guy's going to eat supper with you. And I have to tell you, a roast tastes much better with some butter smeared on top of it. It's the guy will make it shmeared with butter. But Jews don't make it shmeared with butter, because it's basa b'challah. So the halacha is that even though the Ramah says only if you nehena b'chalipin, but we're going to have later an exception to this, not really an exception, it's just a case of nehena b'chalipin, where the guy herself is going to eat from the food, that will chayshish. Now it's an open shach. I think it's in the Gra also, a little later in the simen. But with the guy herself is going to be nehena, because she likes food prepared a certain way, it's a problem. So you leave the guy home, if you yaitzev a nichnis, we're not chayshish, because there's a mirtis. But if you leave the guy home and food is cooking, and the guy is going to be nehena from the food, that's a problem. So that's a klar shach. The second chumra. What? Right. What? It's a menichnis. That's only chatchila, not pidibidiyavu. The second exception, which is more debatable, is the Knesset Hagdailah, brought here in the Daket Tshuva. And that is, if you send someone with a delivery. Now, if he's delivering it 60 seconds from the store, and you can be fairly certain that he didn't have time to go anywhere else, is one thing. But if he's going with a bunch of deliveries, he's driving in the car all day with deliveries. So there's a chashash that he's nehenah b'chalipin, not because it's cheaper, not because he's going to make money, but he's hungry. He's in the car. It smells good. There's all kinds of good food. So one of the packages has some fries. He's going to eat some of the French fries. And later in the day, when he passes a McDonald's, he'll replace the French fries with other French fries. Now, even if French fries are not cheaper at McDonald's, which may or may not be true, but it's a lot cheaper. But okay, let's say it's not cheaper. There's a separate Nehenah B'chalipin in a case where time-wise he may have a desire to eat it. Now, obviously, that doesn't apply to raw meat because there's nobody in the car is going to eat raw meat. But it is an exception. It is a sort of a, not an exception, it's an explanation that this kula, you have to be Nehenah B'chalipin, does not apply where the Hanoi is either the Shachla Mezayin, that will taste better, or that time-wise he'll have it more quickly that there is such a chashash. Doesn't take away. So what we do, Lamaisa, is we combine kulas. What we really do, we try to do everything L'chatchila the way it's supposed to be done, there's no question. But Lamaisa, we combine kulas. We had now, besides the Shach, I've called the Parish Merubah Parish, that if it's something that most of the stuff in the city is kosher, it's mutter anyway, but we have these three kulas. The kula that you can check the chasima, the kula that it's a guy, one chasima is enough, and the kula that he's not in Hanab Chalipin. So if you have a combination of these kulas, so you could be Mekel. That's basically what the bottom line from Sif Aleph and Beis is. So we start Sif Aleph and Beis with the Gemara, Chavis needs two chasimas, and the Chumra of the Rajmat, every Yisrael there is in these two chasimas. And then we put together these basically four kulas, the Shach and the three Mechaber, Amar, Ramah, and we use them together in a B'dievet case to Paskin Lekula. This is the really what comes out from Sif Aleph and Beis, which, as I told you, is one set of rules. Taz Dalid, it's a brand new kula. Taz Dalid talks about wine. He says that by wine, bizman hazeh, you can be mekel with one chasima. Take a look at Taz Dalid. B'diyev yeshim zech hazeh. Kasev yisav heter. Shema taisvis. L'nis daiti nir. D'kuli yama maidim bizeh hazman. Do ikar atam de cheshinam biyayin. Yayin desach is the rabbanon. The idea that a guy touches wine is the rabbanon. Ikar atam de cheshinam biyayin. Shetzar shnei chesamis. It's a rabbanon. Why is it two chesamis? How pishu the rabbanon? But such a chibas yayin desach alav kumen shizgati b'sevalov. Because goyim love to be menasach wine. B'zman hazeh, lav oivdik avaydis kechav imeim. Kumen shkosav lakamon. Alkein ein shaya chibas nesach. It's a very important taz. The taz is makel on wine. Bisman hazeh, the goyim aren't as religious as they used to be. The first taisvus in Avodah Zarah, maybe it's the second taisvus. The first mishnah Avodah Zarah says you don't give gifts to the goyim 3 days before their religious holiday, because they're going to go and praise their Avodah Zarah. So taisvus says that's once upon a time. Nowadays, 3 days before they're not, he says, maybe on the holiday, don't give it to them, Taisa says. Because they're not so religious anymore that they're going to go and praise their Avodah Zarah. So you can be Mekel 3 days before. There are those who argue that Bizman Hazeh, even on the holiday, it should be Mutter, because they don't go thank their Avodah Zarah for the gifts that they get. Similarly, the Tazas say, the din of the Gemara, that wine needs two simanim, which is chavis, tzara, shnei simanim, refereshi Gemara, could be, it's because of chibas nesach, and bizman hazeh, you can rely on a single simon. Lemaisa, our wine has a double simon. The cork has a symbol on it. The kosher wines typically don't have plain corks, although some do, but ideally it's made with a cork that has a simon. And then the piece of tape that's over it is a second simon. Some people are makbid to buy it in the box. The box has also has a sim, the tape on the box has the kedem emblem on it, which is also a simon. Some people go into a store and they I buy wine. He knows, he brings out a box from the back, a sealed box. The price is the same. Might as well do it. And if you're buying a case, I buy I buy my cases of wine that. In the back, so it has a ready to stay some on him, and it's good. What? So the shloah has a chumrah that if a guy looked at it, it's also for kiddush, not also to drink, also for kaishal bracha. The shloah says that if a guy looked at the wine, it's also. It's hard to know how the shloah applies. I can tell you what Rapam said, that the shloah is only if the wine is open. If the bottle is open. The halacha is, when the bottle is sealed, even if a guy is mishach shech, there's no yayin nesach. Ein derech nisuch bekach. So when the Rapam said, it doesn't make sense to be machbar on the guy looking at it, more than on the guy actually doing shechshuch. So if it was a sealed bottle, which it usually is, the Rapam was mekel. I'm not sure in the Chassidish Welt, where they're more machbar on this, that this logic necessarily applies. The Rambam is saying, the Shloss Chumrah can't be more Chumrah than the Gemara's Chumrah. So I'm not sure that everyone agrees. If they hold it's a Kabbalistic Chumrah, maybe they hold it's more Chumrah than the Halacha Chumrah. So maybe it's very hard to know. It is that way. The Shloss didn't make it up. It comes from some Kabbalah source. So it could be they hold that the Kabbalistic source is more. Chabad is Machbid. Even a sealed bottle, the guy shouldn't see it. So they really should make a non-clear bottle. Why are all the wine bottles clear? Not why don't they make like orange juice? What?
Many are not clear.
Many are not?
Many wine bottles are smoked.
So that would be the best. If you can't see the wine, that would seem to be the best. No, I doubt it. And even the shloah is only for kosher bracha. Nobody holds that it's not to drink it at all. It's just for kosher.
That wine is
corked. Oh, you mean it? Well, oh, you mean the ones that just have the crack off thing? It's only one simon. You mean there's no tape over that seal? Yeah, you're right. David says they're all mavushal. Oh, you mean the kedem, the large kedem bottles of? Yeah, it's true. They only have that tape around the top. Oh no, no. So I don't know. I don't know what they rely on. Then it's not shtei simanim. No, not in the large bottles. The cap doesn't break. The cap doesn't break. Like Rashi, the Rashi wine or that. It's only one simon. I don't know. Maybe they're relying on the taz. I have no idea. I didn't think about it. What? You're buying the box. If you buy in the box, you're good. Or if you buy by Jews, it's good. No, the large bottles are not. The large. You buy by Jews. It goes from one Jew to the other Jew, so you're in good shape. Yeah. Okay? It's not of a Jewish store. It's got to be a from yid, you mean? Yeah, I don't think this shash that will switch it in between. It was in the Hena B'Chalipin.
Okay.
Seeing it. Yes, I'm not. Look, my Rebbe was a makbid if the guy sees it. So I don't know my family minig on this. So, all right, Sivkim, when we start learning about what is a simon, it's like two totally separate simonim. Aleph and Beis is what needs a simon. Gimel and on, we start talking about what constitutes a simon. So it says here in the Mechaber, Ois Achas Chashiv Kachaisim Echad. One letter is considered like like one simon. In other words, they have on the side of meat, where they used to ship a side of beef, they would etch out a letter into the beef. So one letter is considered a chaisim. Shtayim have a geshtei chaisamais. Two are considered two chaisamais, except udefusim, things that are defus. Defus means it's preprinted, or it's a stamper, or even an edge, something that etches out part of the meat, but it's done with a defus, with something pre-made. If you have a label with six hasherim, but it's one label, so it's only one simon. If you have goyim that know the aleph bays, then it's not a good simon. Eretz Yisrael, the goyim know Hebrew. They know the letters of the aleph bays. So ink sav simin, the aleph is not a good simin. Ella lami shemakir aksav, except if you recognize someone's handwriting, right? That's a tefiyah sign is good. If somebody signs something, the mashgiach signs something, you recognize his handwriting, so that's good. But if the guy knows the aleph bays, it's not a good simin. So of course the question is, in the butcher in the slaughterhouses, they have goyim etching in the aleph bays letters. So Goyim do know, the Goyim know, maybe they know the Parsha too, I don't know. So they know it. The answer is that they do, is at the end of the day, it's a Mashgiach all day. At night, they count how many sides of beef were kosher. And let's say there were 30 of them. And they count it in the morning. If there's 31, then you're in trouble. If there's still 30, there's no Nehenah B'chalip, and there's nothing, if he etched more letters in, there's nothing that would have been benefited from it, and I think that's what they rely on. So, what? I mean, if you would have switched one, it would be okay. I hear there could be a situation. I mean, they do have two simanim. They have on the sides of beef, they have it etched in, and then they have a. Of a wire that goes through the same types of wire you get sometimes with a tag on your clothing. It's a plastic wire that you only could cut. You can't separate and put back, and it's got a tag. It's the tag usually has the number of the animal. Yeah.
I know that Vernon Truth used to have two letters, one the day of the week and one the parsha.
Yeah, the first letter of the parsha, right? They have two letters. It's an old minik to have. Because the day of the week, the guy could get smart enough and catch on, but the parasha of the week, usually he doesn't catch on. Although, if he does it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, by Thursday, I guess he knows which parasha, at least the letter of the parasha. As far as what we rely on labels, so I don't know any contemporary svarim that talk about it, except Rabbi Avadia, in his Kaf HaChaim, on this simin, he writes... when he writes about a chasima, he writes a dafka. When are two letters two chasima? It's dafka shav al guf hastima betitay bezefes. Dafka when the lettering is on the thing itself, like the wax that sealed it, they put two letters on it. Avol dibek alav niyar. But if you have a label, kol mashakasa bais niyar einay elo chasim echad. It doesn't matter how much you write on a piece of paper, it's one chasim. And he adds, "Mashachashav diba kaniyar kechaisim." This, which we count a label to be a chaisim, davka shenasa ba'ayfin she efshal ditloy lazirai. Davka, if the label is put on in a way that it can't be peeled off and replaced. Shalay amru da'isiyas have a chaisim el kshem devukim lebasar. Ice is only a good simon when it's stuck to the meat.
You're not worried that
so,
you have
another
label over it?
The
label won't come off.
But where's he going to get the other label that has a hechsher? What? So that's definitely, we can debate the wisdom of it, but certainly it's accepted today that labels are a good hechsher. The fact that today it's relatively easy to forge votes or hechsherim, it's you just go to a computer and you can really forge it easily, has not changed the assumption that there's a certain fear of forging, and there is definitely a certain fear of forging, a certain acceptance in the world. You know, there's something called shtaris in Chazal, Reb Chaim calls it Kayach Hashtar. Shtarais, a document, is considered to have is considered to be more believable in certain ways than witnesses. If you have a bad witness, get him to write a document better, to sign a shtar. Because if you bring the witness to Bez, then they have to question him. If you have a shtar that has the rules of a shtar, Eidim Aksum Bishtar, Kamisha Nechru Eidosim Bebezdin. Chazal assumed a certain assumption of a fear to forge documents. And even in today's world, it seems to be relatively easy to get away with forged documents. I remember once my son was in Eretz Yisrael, and he came back, I think it was for a family simcha in the middle of his man, and it was a student ticket. So he's supposed to be able to change it, but when you come back in the middle of his man, the halal was suspicious. They said, you have to send a copy of the student ID card. So go ask Mir Yeshiva for a student ID card. So what did I do? I went to the computer. I typed up a student ID card for Mir Yeshiva. Happened to have a picture of my son from the passport pictures. I had one. So I put the picture on, and I brought it into the store to be laminated. And I sent it to my son. So he had a student ID card for Mir Yeshiva. So they trusted it. I mean, anybody could do it. I'm not especially gifted at forging. But it's a funny thing that once it's a document, it's accepted. That fear of forging is, it may change with time, but that fear of, you know, I wasn't afraid because I wasn't forging. I wasn't saying anything that wasn't true. I just created the ID card. But look, it's accepted today that labels are a good hechsher. Even though every once in a while you see a kosher alert for mistakes, but relative to the amount of product that's out there, there aren't that many things that happen.
In today's world, they changed. Used to be you needed original documents. Now everything is email and scanning.
Yeah. Used to be you needed original documents. I know it from the marriage licenses. It had to be the original marriage license document. Now with Corona, for sure, they just do it. They just scan it and send it. Now, the tumult here is whether the same simon twice is good. If you do the same simon two times, and it's very, very nogeya, a store has tape, and the tape has the hechsher's name, and we're assuming no one will forge it. So, let's say you hold that pizza needs two simonim. Well, better yet, you're sending burgers. You put the burgers in the container. You need two simonim. Could you just do the tape this way and do the tape that way, or maybe even twice in the same way, and now you have two simanim, because the two simanim are the tape two times. What do you say logically? Huh? It's harder to be mezayif.
You have to
forge it twice. Maybe slightly different tape, so he has to produce it twice. Maybe. So I'll tell you, there's a tshuva in the Noida B'Yehuda, Tinyana, tshuva Ayin Aleph, who says, Shtayim kechat chashuva. If they're totally identical, then what is it? It's not two simonim, it's one simon. Dor HaShulchan, is of Katan Tezvav, brings the Noida B'Yehuda, and I'll tell you the words he says, I don't understand totally. He says, Mamanav Shach. If the simon is a good simon, so then it's good for two simonim. If the simon is not a good simon, then it shouldn't even count for one. If it counts for one, it should count for two.
Why the same thing?
Yeah, two the same simonim would be good, but not, it has to be in each battle. You have to have two. The one we have doesn't have two some to the same. The only place it comes up is with the tape. It's a little hard for me to chap what the Aruch HaShulchan's words mean. He brings it b'shem somebody else. I forgot the name. Somebody a little earlier than him. That the same simon twice is good. So lemaisa, this whole parasha is a question of being mitzar of shitas, right? This whole thing we had in Sif Aleph and Beis shitas when you need two simonim, one is enough. So pizza, it's not clear in the first place that it needs two simanim. Because probably today, Raiv is not a Shaila V'Daraisa, a Shaila V'Darabanan. And so you mitzarf to that, the sheet is that one simon twice is good, it's all tzirufim in halacha. And a person could be Seimachan, it could be Mekel on with the Archa Shulchan to say that it's enough even one simon twice. Right. So I'll tell you why it's harder. If you worry he's going to go to the printer, then two is as easy as one. But if you're saying he's going to gently peel it off, switch it, and then put it back, then two is harder than one. So it depends really what you're chayshish for. If he goes to the printer, it's all the same. But if he's physically going to like gently sort of peel it off and replace it, then two is harder. It takes longer, and it doesn't always come out properly. So maybe it won't come out right. So, you know, the argument could be made both ways. And Lamaisa, like I said, with the Tzirif, there's what a person could be makel on. The Pischei Tshuva here, it says to look in a Magen Avraham. Pischei Tshuva, hey, doesn't bring the Magen Avraham, but he teches to a Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham there in Arachayim talks about simonim on Oyer Shel Tefillin that are shipped. We're more makel on the simonim. It talks about their holes. But the simon is they make a certain pattern of holes in the tefillin, in the R, not in the whole R, but I guess at the end of it, they make a pattern of holes, and that's the simon. Magen Avraham says anybody could do that. It's not a Hebrew letter. Hebrew letters, you say, if the guy knows Hebrew, it doesn't work. Holes, anybody can make holes. So Magen Avraham has two terutzim. Nafkamina lalacha. His first terutz is it's still very hard to be mezayiv. If someone makes a pattern, it's difficult to do a good job. So therefore, one simon is enough. The second terutz is, no, by food they were more chayshish. Food, everybody's interested in food. Cloth, you know, is less enticing to people. By cloth, we'll make all with one. Big nafkamina. Magen Avraham's first teretz is saying that something that's difficult to be mezayif, even though a person could be mezayif, is also a good simon. So again, it's a potential kula. As with everything in the simon, it's all a question of being mitzarif. Chatchili yinitu siman. Making tzirufim to be able to be mekel is really what the siman is about. If I may, let's just do siftalit quickly. I want to introduce you to the concept of mafteach. Mafteach v'choisim have a beis chesam. It's a very important thing. Mafteach, I'll tell you what it means in a minute. Literally means a key. But mafteach means a weak siman. Okay, a weak siman. When you have two simanim, you only need what we call today a simon muvik. One has to be a really good simon, and the other could be a simon that's easier to forge. So mafteach v'chaysim, a good simon, and a miroka simon, have a base chaysamis. Now, mafteach in Chazal meant a key, but it's not like our keys. Our keys, it's very hard to forge a key to a doorknob or to a lock. Maybe you can jimmy open the door, break in, but to actually forge a key is not easy. We accept that keys are good. They put things under lock and key, and they rely on it. But in the time of Chazal, when they had their old-fashioned wooden teeth keys that you stuck in, it was easier to fake. So mafteach was considered an inferior simon. For us, the word mafteach means one inferior simon, v'chaysim, one good simon, have a beis chaysamais. Al-bidvarim shadai b'chaysim echad. But things that need one simon, an inferior simon is not good when one is needed. Ramah, im sheleach eze dava b'sak. If you send something in a bag, people do it all the time. The chosam hasak, and what you did is you stapled the top of the sack and you put a chasima. Today they put a bill or something that has the company name on it. So that's a good simon. You order burgers, you order whatever you order. One simon is a stapled on paper that's nicker. It comes from the store. Rabbah says, it's no good. Why? Because he's talking about a sack that's sewn together. So even though they seal it on top, you can't get things out of the top. If you slit the bottom and take it out and re-sew it, so you can also change it. It's not very hard. You just rip the seam and you sew it back together. So why does it help to have a siman on top and get it out the bottom? So he says the way to do it, elim kein hafach hatfiros lifnim. How do you do it? What you do is you have the sack, you make the sack that it's sewn on the inside. In other words, when you're making the sack, you take two pieces of cloth, you take one piece and go around. When you stitch it, you're left with stitches that show. Then you turn that inside out so that the stitches are on the inside, like the seat of your pants. You don't have to check now. But your pants are two pieces of cloth that come together and are sewn together. Where is the sewing? The sewing is on the inside. If you turn your pants inside out, you'll see where they sewed it. But nobody wants to walk around with that sticking out. So they sew it on the inside, and from the outside, it looks as one as is possible. The same thing he's saying. A bag, where it's sewn on the outside, that's no good. The guy could rip the sewing and re-sew it. It's sewn on the inside, and it's sealed on top. Now the guy can't get to the stitches without breaking the seal. So therefore, it's good. The Ramah says, "Elu ken hafachat firos lufnim, v'chotaf adavish shesholach v'gam asak." If you sealed the thing you said plus the sack, he means if the sack is sealed plus it has a chasima, the Shita says it means the sack has a seal plus another seal on top, then that's good. So that's what they do today. They send meat, they staple it together, and then they tape it also. So you have the two
sides. Something to
It's too much bother. The Ramah said, oh, some that's a lot of money. Some people do it for little money, but some people only for a lot of money. Okay, the Ramah said, well, it's a lot of money. But look, people go around for a nickel a bottle, you know. They go around the garbage cans for 5 cents a bottle. I don't know how much money they can make. They fill up the whole cart.